Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rolled Realms, The Frontier. As always, I'm your DM, Piper, and we are joined by our wonderful Ellison agents, Blaze Barnsdale, Rosalind Fairchild, Mordi Valfierno, and Talon. Where we last left off, y'all were in the labyrinthine set of tunnels underneath the underwater city in the secret sea. Y'all arrived there from Camp Burrows, a mining camp that had experienced a massive earthquake and subsequent emergency. You were voluntold to go to the camp and help with rescue efforts however you could, meeting the four-person Bree, Blue Kobold, who told you that a lot of people were trapped in the mines, including her girlfriend, a gnoll woman by the name of Yaz Thrashwise. While exploring the tunnels, after some mishaps, you got sucked down underwater and found yourselves in the secret sea, where you were pretty promptly arrested after some shenanigans, brought before the king, and eventually thrown in the kiln, an underwater labor camp. There, you met Yaz Thrashwise, who told you her two teammates had been actually taken up to the castle for interrogation by the king or the king's staff. It wasn't exactly clear who was doing the interrogating. And that the only way out was with another prisoner, a Triton man named Vladislav and his two lieutenants, Saber, a swordfish merperson, and Stingray Romano. A Stingray merperson that I hope was clear through all this. I don't know if I ever actually outright said it.
I think you said it.
I think I said it.
You I'll definitely listen back did
at some point.
I just like Nate. To think that he's a stingray with like the face of Ray Romano.
Basically,
listeners,
yeah.
If you're an artist, please.
I'm picturing a stingray, and I don't know how that would physically work, but I really like it, so we're going with it. It's canon, baby. Finally, after a little bit of negotiation and a surprise gift from a mystery person, though, I think y'all figured out who it was from already, you made your ways into this tunnel system underneath the city under the secret sea. You encountered a lava monster who you affectionately named Steve and helped get back home to the primordial plane of fire. Pardon me, I stumbled over that. Who you helped get home to the primordial plane of fire. And continuing on your journey, you met a lovely octopus woman who had a garden under the sea. Her name was Cece, and she welcomed you in for scones and tea. And where we last left off, Mordi and Talon were in the kitchen with Cece, who was talking their ear off about underwater agriculture, when they noticed those who had eaten the scones had the slightest bit of coral creeping up their legs. Let me set the scene for you all. You are in this yellow house under the sea. It feels almost suburban. It is warm from the heat of the oven that was cooking the scones. It is cozy. You're all in incredibly soft, spongy chairs, with the exception of Mordi and Talon, who are standing in the kitchen with Cece. For many of you, you are full. You have had a delicious meal. And those who hadn't, you are resting. You all have had a short rest, I will say, in the time you've been in this house. And it is comfortable and it is cozy. And those who have eaten the scones feel like just so comfortable. I mean, I think Stingray Romano like perks up and just goes, I like it here. Kind of cozy. The place I could really see myself settling into long term. You know, very suburban. It's nice.
I've already fallen asleep. I don't remember if I left off leaning really hard into falling into being comfortable or leaning real hard into noticing what was going on. But statistically, I probably leaned real hard into like being comfortable, in which case Talon has already fallen asleep.
I mean, Talon, you were like standing up having a conversation in the kitchen. So like,
okay, never mind.
I think you just fall over. You did have, and I wrote this down, three times the amount of scones or tea of anyone
That's
else.
That's right. That's where I went. Okay. Okay, yeah, in that case, I pass out and fall over.
Mordi, yeah, I think Talon just fucking passes out next to you. Everyone else is like kind of casually dozing off. Mordi, Blaze, and Saber were the only ones who didn't eat any of the scones or tea. Everyone else is still awake, for the record. Like, y'all are still active in this scene, only apparently Talon has passed out. But Mora, yeah, Talon hits the floor with a slam, like a sack of potatoes. And Cece just goes...
catching other people's attention.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I think everyone does perk up a little bit at that. And Cece just goes, oh, no, is your friend okay? It must have had a long journey.
We've had the same journey.
Yeah, the journey's been pretty much the same.
Just very emotional. Sorry, I forgot that Blaze was upset, and that's why they weren't eating.
Yeah, Blaze is like fucking sobbing over there. Well, Yaz had been trying to comfort Blaze, but I think now is kind of starting to pass out.
Also, Pipes, just a clarification question. Would you characterize this as a way of putting us to sleep that is magical?
The sleep aspect, yes, but I think there is another element to this.
Okay.
So I don't think you would be falling asleep, but you would still be slightly transforming.
Well, no, I was just going to say the sleep part will not work on my character specifically. That's like a, I don't know if it's like a half elf thing or
a circle of stars druid thing.
I don't know if that is, but I cannot be put to sleep magically.
It's a half elf thing, Leo?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Elves generally and also half elves.
I can't be put to sleep magically.
That's awesome. All. Yeah. Then yeah, Rosalind is I think actually that puts an interesting spin on this. Rosalind, you see Talon collapse in the kitchen. You see everyone else very comfortable, cozy, falling asleep. And you feel along your shins this hardening, dry, like unnatural dryness. I think more than anyone else, you have a little bit of terror in your heart because you are fully cognizant and awake for your transformation.
Oh my God, what is that?
What is what?
Look at my leg. Look at my leg.
Oh shit, what the fuck is that?
What is that?
Rocks?
I don't.
Is it rocks?
I don't know.
It kind of looks like rocks.
It's gotta be ghosts. You're being possessed by ghosts.
The ghosts of what?
And Talon's out cold so that Talon can't even argue.
That was the biggest tragedy right now.
That is the biggest tragedy.
Oh, y'all, we don't have ghosts under the ocean.
Y'all, I did shout trip, so loud it summoned my trip. Dog. I did shout so loud it summoned my dog.
Aww.
I think Trimp, just because Trimp is so much smaller than the rest of y'all, does pass out, fall asleep.
God damn it, Trimp was the only one helping defend me against the ghosts argument.
And I think Cece speaks up and just goes, oh, just calm down, everyone. It's perfectly natural. You've been swimming underground. You probably just have some sediment buildup.
Does everyone else have sediment on them? Is it just me?
I'm perfectly fine. I've got no sediment on me.
Oh, I
mean, you know, I've got, you know, amethysts and stuff. Actually, Cece, can I interest you?
Oh?
Have an amethyst. We'll keep talking, but just have this.
Oh, thank you. I can, if any travelers come through, I can use it to buy some ingredients and some
ingredients?
Seeds.
Yes. Somehow I don't think you'll be doing that. What the fuck is happening to my friends?
Oh, as I said, you maybe got some sediment in the tunnels or, and I think Vladislav speaks up at this point, just goes, yeah, I live under the water. This is not sediment. I don't know.
It's not sediment.
I don't.
I'm not from here, so like I don't know. It's Vladislav, you say this is not sediment.
I've never had this before, and I have had rock skin. It is unpleasant illness, but this is more like a coral, not sediment. So very weird. I don't like it. It's itchy, but maybe we just need good night's sleep.
Piper, I have a question for you.
I don't think sleeping's a good idea. I'm just going to say it.
No, are there knives on the table?
No, I think this is more of like y'all were around like in a living room around like a big coffee table. Got it, got it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's all, you know, scones, finger food. So I don't think.
Got it. Okay. I was just asking because never mind.
The scone
I'm wrong.
Open and putting butter in it.
You know what? No. Yes, there is a butter knife.
I forgot. I have daggers.
No, use a butter knife.
No, Blaze isn't that stupid. Blaze is just, they are very in a very fragile emotional place right now. They've already lost one friend today. They are not planning on losing anymore. So they're going to pull out one of their daggers and walk up to CC, point the dagger at her, and say, "What did you just do to my friends? And more importantly, to fix it, or I'll start crying and also stab you."
Oh, don't cry. That will make an ugly statue.
Statue? In case you haven't noticed, I have not eaten, nor do I plan to eat any of your cursed scones. I don't know what kind of ghosts you put in them.
Jesus Christ.
But they're not the good kind.
Talon asleep on the floor and mutters Jesus Christ under her breath.
So are you speaking Jesus Christ into this universe?
No, it's a different person.
Oh, okay.
Technically, I already did that when I gave Vladislav a Christmas present.
Oh, I guess.
Different guy. Just say it's like a Sloop Doopson situation. Same name, yeah, different it's person. Kind Don't of worry a about
silly
it.
Silly name that people invoke.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
God, do we have to edit that? I don't know. We're fine. Blaze, I think CC looks at you, looks at the knife, and isn't as scared as I think you would hope she would be. And she just goes, do you want a scone? You look so thin from your travel.
I don't want a scone. If she's offering me a scone, I want to slap it out of her hand onto the floor.
You slap it out of her hand. Again, you're underwater, so it just kind of floats a little bit away. Like you slap it, it's just kind of drifting. She just goes, "Oh," and she grabs it out of the water and puts it back on the plate and goes, "I mean, you could have just, I mean, I would have insisted if you said no, but you really should eat. I mean,
the jig is up. Fix it, or else I will start stabbing. I do know how to use this, I think."
She looks around and takes stock of the fact that it's six of y'all being affected. Roz, I know you're not falling asleep, but like the six of y'all somehow being affected and three not. And she just goes,
no, I don't think I will fix it.
And she smiles at you and goes,
"And just so you know, very hard to break a curse when the cursor is deceased. So maybe think twice if you really want to help your friends."
I would like to make a perception check.
Oh, absolutely.
Or perhaps investigation. I'm not sure which it would be. I am looking around the room for books.
For books?
Yes. Specifically, anything that might be a spell book.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, look around.
16 plus perception is a plus one. So that's a 17.
With a 17, there are like some books on shelves and things, but nothing that looks like a spell book to you.
Damn. I was hoping I'd be able to kill her, learn the cure for her curses, and then just do it myself.
Would be efficient. I think you hear a shout from the living room, which I've been imagining this is kind of like a little open concept house where you can all kind of see in between the kitchen and the living room without any barriers. And it's Vladislav who's like trying to stand up, but stumbles. Stingray Romano, who really was vibing with this place and relaxed into it, fully Coral.
Oh, no.
Romano. Sorry, Stingray Romano.
Wait, am I not fully Coral? Again, I ate three times as much as anyone else.
You're passed out, but it's only about you. I think everyone else, it's like creeping up around the knees. Talon, it's up to like your waist, essentially, I think, at this point.
Okay.
But again, you are also larger than anyone else here, except for maybe Yaz Thrashwise, which I do think kind of helps balance that out a little bit.
Hey, no one here knows Lesser Restoration, do they?
Unfortunately, no.
I do Damn. Not know. And Saber just shakes his head.
Yeah, it was worth a shot. Okay.
I think Stingray Romano.
Oh,
never
damn it.
Mind.
All right. Well, I'm taking pictures on how to cajole or bully this witch into reversing the curse.
Maybe if you eat her scones, she'll reverse it.
Well, if we want to get the curse reversed, you must bring me back these items three, four. Fuck. I really need to brush up my into the woods. Oh. Into the woods. The cow is white as milk, the cape is red as blood, the hair is yellow as corn, the slipper is pure as gold.
Yeah, I don't need any of that shit.
Are you sure? Well, in that case, does anyone mind if I stab her? I won't kill her. It's like 1d4 damage.
Ooh. Honestly, a light stabbing might do her good.
Light stabbing it is. I'm going to stab her.
I wouldn't recommend.
Roll to attack.
She puts her hands up to be like, oh, hold on. Go ahead and roll that attack roll, but don't tell me it quite yet. Will everyone who's awake still make a perception check for me?
Yep.
I roll a natural nat 1 just because I'm fucking unconscious.
Yeah.
Ooh. Getting my good rolls in early. Got a 19 total.
7.
Ooh. Alrighty. So that's a 7. What did you get?
I got a 19.
Ooh, a 19? Blaze, what did you get? Sorry, well, will you also roll perception? I know you were rolling.
Oh, also perception? Okay, yeah, so sorry. I will just keep the attack number in my head. It is a 21.
Oh.
Oh, and that's a 17. Well, hold on. Let me see if it's minus anything. 17. Oh, that's a dirty 20 on my perception check.
Vladislav and Saber both rolled under a 5, so they're both too concerned with Stingray Romano right now.
Actually, I lied. I forgot. I have double proficiency in perception. It's actually going to be a 23.
Awesome. So I think that Blaze, you and Mordai both, as she puts her hands up to be like, whoa, no, see a little, like poking up from above her apron on a cord around her neck, a little vial with a glowing green liquid in it. And just as quickly as it flashes up, she like lowers her hands and it disappears back down under her apron.
Oh, I want that vial. I want that vial.
Blaze, you succeed in stabbing her though. Where, like, are you just, you were just stabbing her kind of at her?
Yeah, I just wanted to get a stab in. Not non-lethal, obviously, with the 1d4 damage.
Coward.
Sorry, I realized I leaned away from the microphone to get a die as I was speaking. Non-lethal 1d4 stabbing. Please hold while I get dice. Ah, my dice is slippery.
What?
My dice. I was trying to grab one. And I couldn't quite get my fingies on it. That's going to be 6 damage.
All right, yeah, she takes 6 damage. Her blood like trickles up into the water a bit. And she just goes, oh, someone's hangry. Are you sure you don't want a bite to eat? I think I have some leftover lasagna if you would prefer something not baked.
You can eat my fists.
That's what you're going with? You definitely didn't almost say ass there. Great.
No, I was torn between fists or knife, but I felt like fists was cooler.
Well, if you're going to do that, just say, you shall taste my blade.
Damn it, that is cooler.
That's much cooler.
But Blaze wouldn't have thought of it.
No. Honestly, I am also shocked that Blaze didn't go with eat my ass, so.
Actually, I think if Blaze was really going to say something very in character, it would be eat my ghosts.
There are no ghosts underwater. Your friend said it earlier.
That doesn't
ghosts
sound
all
right.
Around us, there's always ghosts.
And you know, there's shipwrecks underwater. Like, you must do something with your dead down here. Like,
yeah, we bury them. What the fuck do you mean?
Well, wouldn't that produce ghosts? Like, they can't all die happy. You'll get ghosts.
There's no ghosts. But you
I
know,
think you're lying.
If you're looking for something similar, I might be able to oblige. She glows green slightly. No. And these wisps of green energy peel off her. And then just go fucking out the window.
Oh, no.
And then you hear a creaking noise. The coral form of Stingray Romano rises up from the couch. And looking through that little window with the red and white checkered curtains, you see a number of those coral garden statues crack and creak and bend and shuffle towards the back door of the house. Everyone roll initiative.
Do I have to?
Well, beans.
Please still do, but yes, you are unconscious, so that'll be fun for you.
I love good rolls. Making stupid character decisions that mean that I don't have to do anything. I rolled a nat 1! This is so fucking hilarious.
That's genuinely perfect. I truly
plus
love
one,
it.
So a 2, but I think that's just the best thing I possibly could have done.
I got a 15.
I got a 7.
I got a nat 20 plus 3.
And okay. I got a rock.
Show off.
I will be paying for this later.
All right, Mordai, it is your turn first. to set the scene, you are in the kitchen. Behind you essentially is Stingray Romano, who has seemingly risen up from the couch in a new coral form, does not have any sight or like awareness in his eyes. There's a horde of these coral statues shuffling towards the back door that you can see out the window. They have not arrived quite yet. And then there's Cece in the kitchen.
Okay.
And also Talon passed out at your feet.
Right.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to do a couple things. The first of them is I'm going to Eldritch Blast Cece.
Absolutely. Go ahead and roll.
Yeah, and as I knew I would, I got a nat 1 and a, what is my other one here? A 10 plus, what's my spell attack? Plus 8. So that's an 18 and a nat 1.
On a nat 1, it whizzes by Cece through the water, and you hear a shattering sound as it breaks her little kitchen window, and immediately a coral, like, webbed hand begins to reach through that kitchen window. You've given them another way inside. Okay. But Cece turns to look at that, kind of turns back to smirk at you, and your second one hits her square in the face.
Ha! She takes 12 force damage.
She is hit in the face and just goes flying back into the back wall, like against the oven. Her like tentacled face is like bleeding, which is drifting up into the water. She looks bad already.
Awesome. I'm going to yeet Spindle at her with full force using my bonus action and have Spindle try and like get the vial off of her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead and I'm not going to make you roll anything for throwing since Spindle can move through the water and that will just be Spindle's movement. Will you make a sleight of hand check?
Sure, I will. Yeah, that's a 21 total.
Yeah, Spindle slices through that the cord holding it and tries to grab it through the apron. It grabs it, but it does have like its arm down her apron, essentially.
Spindle, impolite. Thank you for doing your job, still.
And she's like, Cece is like shouting and like trying to slap at Spindle. She doesn't have like a reaction she can use against it though. And it is now Vladislav's turn. Vladislav stands and tries to turn to attack Cece. However, with a disadvantage con save, the coral spreads up his body more and he cannot move. Blaze, it is your turn.
Excellent. So I like see Spindle doing this? Do I see him go flying through the air and like try to yoink that vial?
Yeah, you see all of that happen.
Great. In that case, I want to try to grab Spindle. I'm trying to think how I can do this without being a pervert.
Explain exactly what you're trying to do.
Also, when has that stopped you before?
Hey, this character isn't a slut. Other characters I've played have been. This one is too uncharismatic and stupid, and I love them for that.
An unsuccessful slut, then.
Okay, so my initial thought was like, slash open the apron with my dagger. You can't see it, but I'm making like a slashing motion with my arm. Mm-hmm. And then like try to reach and like so that I can have visibility of Spindle and then like yoink him and like at some probably on my next turn toss him like a baseball to whoever is closest to, I guess, Roslyn. Or so
here's what I'll say to you. Yes. You're right that Roslyn is closest to you. I will say Spindle is not fully in the apron. It's like arm up to the shoulders. Like it reached down to get it.
But the majority
of its body is outside of the apron.
Okay, so I could attempt to just grab him from out of the apron.
Exactly. Like, if you wanted to do your little yeet maneuver, like, you could do that this turn with your action.
All right, cool. I want to try to grab him and throw him to Roslyn.
Yeah. Make a dexterity, like, a ranged attack throw.
Ranged attack? Gonna be a 16.
All righty. You know, 16 is really good. Yeah, Rosa, I'm going to say, looking up, you see Spindle flying just right towards you. You don't have to make any sort of dexterity saving throw or roll to catch it. That was a good enough. If that was a low enough roll, I would have made you have to do something to try and catch it. But yeah, so you now have Spindle and a little vial with just a little bit of glowing green liquid in it.
Ooh, shiny.
It is now the Coral's turn.
Bad.
Rosalind, you are in the living room, and so I think Stingray Romano turns to you and locks onto that vial and will attack you for it. It doesn't really have any fancy attacks in this form. The coral has taken over, so it is just going to slam its rigid, hard body into you.
Ow.
Does a 19 hit?
Yeah.
Please take 2 whole damage.
Ugh, I'm dead.
And then please make a constitution saving throw for me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. That is a 16.
With a 16, like, the wind gets knocked out of you a little bit, but you manage to keep your hold on the vial. You do not let it out into the water. Looking towards the kitchen.
I can't believe you don't even appreciate the sound effects I do for you.
Oh, I love them dearly. I do want to make that very clear. I really do appreciate it.
I'm just messing with you.
I'm over here smiling up a storm. I forgot my camera was off. But looking to the kitchen, you all see that webbed hand emerges. It almost looks like a swamp thing-esque creature. Or like the creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, webbed ears. And you realize it's like a Triton man who's been just so deformed with coral. Begins to shove its upper half through the kitchen window. Back door bursts open with a slam. And a horde of these coral statues of various sea creatures and mer people begin to pour into the room. Rosalind, it is your turn. You're holding the vial.
Yeah, so how badly do we need this octopus lady Cece right now? Like, do we need her to tell us what to do with this liquid, or are we like,
why don't you try something and find out?
I'm fucking pissed at her, so just die.
This is a deeply important question. I need to know.
I mean, we should probably keep her alive just in case. I mean, but if you're doing something, you can just say it's non-lethal damage.
Yes, that's true. Okay. So Rosalind is going to cast Blight. Please make a constitution saving throw, Octopus Lady.
Absolutely. Is that just a single target or is that area of effect?
It is a creature of my choice.
Nice. A con save, you said?
Yep.
Oh no. Does a 7 succeed?
Please pardon me while I roll 8d8 necrotic damage.
What?
Yup.
I mean, I heard you correctly because I can also hear you through our wall, but what?
That's why I asked if it was important if she lived or not. We're at 20 so far. Okay, 27, 29, 33 necrotic damage.
Holy shit.
And it drains... Part of it is it drains moisture and vitality from the creature that I target with this spell.
Yeah.
What fucking level is that?
4th.
What?
That's about right.
Yeah, druids get scary.
It's only slightly more damage than a 3rd level fireball will do.
Hey, but yeah, anyway, that's 33 necrotic damage.
Yeah, I have an important question here logistically. Mordai, how much damage did you say you did?
12.
It was just 12?
12 force damage if it matters, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I just have to do math real quick.
This is why I asked if she was important enough to keep alive or not.
I know.
Well, we don't have answers to that question, though, do we?
Well, we're going to have an answer to it, which is either going to be yes or no, because she is very dead.
Oh, you got very lucky if you wanted to keep her unconscious but alive.
Yay.
Yeah, because you said non-fatal, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. One sec.
Pardon me. Oh no, I killed Piper with the spell.
I live through my NPCs. One of them dies, a little bit of me dies.
Fuck. This is why you've had so many near-death experiences.
It's all coming together.
Yes, Kronk. It's all coming together.
Yeah, you all watch as this like dark energy just like begins to crackle and wrap around Rosalind, who rises up, and I think you probably stumble a little bit because you do have that coral on you.
Starting to rise, and she goes, ow, fuck, and then keeps going.
Yeah. You didn't try to move it all, though, which is good, because that's when the penalties come in from the coral. and this dark energy just shoots out of you, and it's almost like two hands of darkness grab on to Cece and like pin her arms against her. She gasps, this guttural gasp, and you watch as her, like, you know, she's an octopus merperson, and her cephalopod head and the tentacles around her face just whoosh, instantly constrict and shrivel. She loses most of her size, honestly, the way she collapses in on herself. Her eyes bulge slightly, her skin turns an ashy gray, and she is fully unconscious. But you did not, in D&D terms, reach her health points, but negative, which would have just obliterated her from existence, basically. Like, there is a point where you do so much damage, you don't get the choice of non-lethal damage, and you are 3 points away from that.
Kobe!
Alrighty. Yeah, she's unconscious. And I think Saber tries to move, also has no coral on him, so he's able to move quickly and goes over to her, but seeing that she is fucking unconscious, stops and looks at all of you for instruction. Talon, you are still unconscious on the floor. None of the coral move anymore. In fact, they all seem to just pause, unsure of what to do with Cece now unconscious. For all intents and purposes, y'all won this fight. Combat is over. I'm taking us out of initiative order. What are y'all doing, though?
We've solved your puzzle.
I'm not sure it counts as a puzzle if your solution was, let's murder this person.
Oh, no, she's not.
Why can't murder be a solution to a puzzle?
I don't know. I think it's against escape room etiquette, but...
This is not an escape room.
Well, you have to escape this room.
It was never explicitly stated that it was an escape room.
Also, bold of you to assume I care about etiquette.
You know what? Actually, you know, Rachel, that's a good point. An escape room without consent, murder is an appropriate response.
Exactly.
I guess the plot of Saw is just it's a non-consensual escape room.
Yeah. And I'd kick that tricycle puppet through a fucking window.
If someone had no concept of Saw, that's the most fucking bonkers thing to say.
I barely have a concept of Saw.
You're aware that there's a puppet that rides a tricycle, yes?
No.
And that was a fucking bonkers thing to say.
No, I mean, I knew that there was
a puppet, but I didn't know that it rode a tricycle either.
I mean, I knew that it was about you. So the concept of Saw is that, like, you're kidnapped and you have to, like, do some horrible thing to get out or you die?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And there's a puppet that rides a tricycle. It's great.
Why is there a puppet that rides a tricycle?
It's just a fun thing.
He's just in a silly, goofy mood.
He's just a silly little guy. But yeah, Roslyn, you're holding this vial with the green glowing liquid. It's just a little bit. It's a very small vial. What are y'all's next actions? I think that you notice that for those who have eaten it, Talon especially, like, it is up to kind of her jawline at this point, that coral. And she's just like this still statue. Stingray Romano, fully gone. Roslyn, it's probably up to like a little bit above your belly button at this point. Yaz is probably to her waist, given her size. And Trimp is mostly coral at this point. I think just his little eyes are poking up.
Y'all, we have to save Trimp.
Hey, we have to save him.
Shut up. What about Trimp?
Who's got the vial?
Roslyn has the vial.
Take a sip, see what happens.
Roslyn immediately drinks the entire vial. No, I'm kidding. Roslyn takes a fucking sip, babes.
How much of it do you drink?
A sip.
There's like barely any, like, this is a tiny little vial.
Take a drop. Wait, drop.
Roslyn like pours it like disturbingly slow. Like, you can see the drop like kind of going, like shifting back and forth between the vial and like the edge. Like, she's trying to be really careful with it and pours a drop onto her finger. And then puts that in her mouth.
Absolutely. Yeah, whatever this liquid is, it's denser than water, so it actually does behave like a normal liquid, like what it would behave on the surface. And yeah, you pop it in your mouth, you feel that coral around you like constrict slightly, harden, almost like it was like like clay being baked, and then it shatters off of your body, and you are fine. Gross.
Yay! All right, it works.
Cool.
And I pass it to another coral-afflicted
being. Drops all around.
Yeah. You have taken about a fifth
shots,
of it.
Shots.
Oh, that's an issue because there's how many of us affected?
Six plus all the statues.
Well, okay, fuck the statues.
They got themselves into this.
I mean, so did we.
Yeah, but we're getting ourselves out and they didn't. They can find their own magical vial.
Well, Ray Romano can be dead. That's fine.
No, everyone loves Stingray Romano.
Look, we've got four drops left.
Yep.
That's not going to cut it. We should search the place for other solutions.
That is a fantastic idea. Or wait, hold on. Let's hold on. She's just unconscious, right? Why don't we like wake her up so that we can ask her where there's more or how to make more?
Because then she'll keep trying to kill us.
Anyone got rope? Anyone got rope?
Yeah.
Well, if she can't attack us,
then... her zombies can. Her coral zombies.
True.
I'm much more worried about them. She seemed like kind of a pushover, really.
Honestly, yeah.
You know what? Here's some rope. Mordai hands a bunch of rope over to Blaze. You can tie her up and interrogate her for if you're so inclined. Me and Spindle are going to ransack this place looking for more vials.
Yeah. Hey, Vladislav, on ground, can you please give us the vial and heal us so that we do not slowly transform into complete coral monster while you are ransacking Octopus Lady's house?
Hold on. What about Trim?
You can give it to Trim too. Give it to me. Give it to Trim. What is the holdup?
There's not enough for everyone. But Rosalind, do pass it to our cohorts here.
I already said that I did that.
Well, then there you go.
Oh, who are you passing it? Sorry, Rosalind, who did you pass it to? I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, I said that I made it very general. I said I passed it to another coral afflicted being.
Mm. I think since Vladislav spoke up, he kind of reached out his hand. He's pretty close to you. And he does the same thing you did. He just takes a single drop. And again, coral hardens and shatters, and he is okay again. He goes, okay, who wants next? Three drops left.
Is Yaz affected?
Yaz was affected, yeah.
We can't live without Yaz.
You mean just drag me along?
I don't want to leave without anyone. Except maybe Trim, but like...
No, we can't leave Trim.
Mordai, when you say that, you just see Trim's eyes, which are the only part not coralified yet, just like turn and look at you like, oh.
We'd come back for you, obviously, but we,
you just keep presenting us with fucking times we can't save everyone, and we just have a huge checklist of people to save later. Why don't we figure out how to brew more of this shit?
I'm working on it. I said I was ransacking the place.
Yeah, speaking of which, Morta, I think, yeah, you're looking around. You're not finding, like, a spell book or instructions anywhere. I think you do find, like, a recipe book for scones and shit. And it talks about, like, infusing her natural magic as a curse into it. But there's nothing really about creating an antidote that you can see written down. Like, I'm not gonna make you roll for that. Like, if you're just pulling this place apart, eventually you would find something. You're not finding anything.
Mordai, perhaps it's time we should just ask her. I mean, here's the deal. If she doesn't tell, makes it clear that she's not going to tell us, and she sticks her coral people on, we can easily just kill her.
Yeah,
let's do it. We're gonna tie up this wouldn't you describe her as like a dehydrated squid?
Yeah, basically. I mean, octopus, but yes.
I'm sorry, a dehydrated octopus. We tie up the dehydrated octopus and crisp slap, wake up.
Yeah, I think you do that just to speed things along. And her skin actually like flakes off a little bit when you give her a crisp slap. Like that's how fucked up she is under the water from that blight. And she weakly opens her eyes. You see her try to generate that same like green magic that powered the coral statues, and she just can't get she can't focus enough to do it. So the statues remain stagnant for the time being, and she just goes, "Oh, you, not a fan of the scones, I see."
No, we would actually like more potion to reverse the scone effect.
No,
this bitch. This rude asshole. I can't believe, I can easily believe it. I expect, fully expected this. Hey, gang, how do we feel about torture?
We're anti-torture. We're pro-murder.
Why are we pro-murder and anti-torture?
Torture doesn't work.
Do we have anything she might want?
Her life. We have her life in our hands.
I mean, yeah. But anything else?
I feel like that's a lot.
Well, let's see. Blaze is going to turn to her again, pull out the shiny old dagger, and say, "If you don't tell us, we will kill you. I think we've proven that we are capable of doing that and have been kind enough to not yet so far. But if you are not useful to us,
I mean, whatever your friend did to me was basically the purest form of agony I've ever experienced. So that was pretty fucking brutal, my dude.
Yeah, and she could do that again if you don't give us more antidote or tell us how to find / make more.
I mean,
is that a deception? No, I don't know if Roslyn can do it again. I'm just assuming she can.
I mean, it's technically true because, like, after a long rest, she could. So I'm not going to make you, like, roll deception true. Necessarily.
Also, I've never seen Roslyn do this. So, like, for all I know, this is a cantrip.
It's not, but you're good for now.
I know it's not.
And she just goes, well, are you going to kill me if I give you an answer you don't like?
Depends.
It will help. I mean, answer we don't like is better than no answer. I'll put it that way.
Okay, well, the answer is you're shit out of luck.
Okay, I really don't like that answer, and I am going to kill you about it. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm not sorry. But you said I said it was better than no answer at all.
I just mean, like, I can't make any more. It doesn't exist.
Now, so if you can't make it, yeah, where did you get it?
Oh, this is the last of my reserve. I synthesized it up in the city before they kicked me out for being a horrible sea witch.
So they can synthesize it in the city.
Oh no, they burnt all my crops for witchcraft.
But the crops can be grown in the city. Actually, you have a garden. You got the crops here?
No, they burnt like the seeds and everything. This is just all magic from me now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now follow-up question for you, Sea Witch. CC, the horrible Sea Witch.
Oh, didn't like the horrible in there. Like, you front and end were good, and then the middle, you missed the mark. You sound like the fucking newspaper editors when they ran me out of town.
So question for you. Now, you may have that fancy magic vial, but you are, as I've noticed, quite powerful, albeit incredibly squishy.
Yeah, some might call me a glass like cannon.
Yes, but do you personally have it in your power to reverse the curse?
No. One way street there, my friend.
You know, that seems like a poorly designed curse.
Why? They make beautiful statues. Why would I ever want to undo that?
Hey, quick thing. Piper, plug your ears. Everyone, feed her a scone. And then see if there's a solution to it.
That's a fantastic idea.
That's so smart.
Okay, Piper, you can unplug your ears now.
Oh, thank you. Did I miss anything important?
No. I think Mordai would be the smart one here to do that.
Oh, thank you. I'm flattered.
I mean, Blaze fucking is stupid as rocks. And I love them for that.
Talon, it's now like wrapping around her. The coral is now wrapping around her face. So it's basically just her nose, mouth, and eyes that are still exposed at this point. Yaz, it's up to her shoulders. And Trimp is completely covered at this point.
All right, we're leaving Trimp. Heal no! Talon for sure. What is Trimp going to do for us? Really? Like,
make us fried rice.
Is he even going to do that at this point?
I mean, not when he's coral. I should clarify, this is Goblin speaking, not Blaze. Blaze doesn't give two shits about Trimp. Well, okay, Blaze gives one shit.
Just the singular shit.
Just the singular shit.
What? So you're feeding CC a scone? Kind of force feeding?
Yeah, Morda's gonna yank a scone off of the floor and start
not even off the table. Oh
no, she doesn't deserve table scones. Fuck her. She's getting floor scones, and he's gonna shove it down Cece's throat.
As you approach her with it, she's like, "Oh no, I'm gluten intolerant. I'll blow right up. No, you don't want. No, thank you. I don't enjoy them. I bake them for others and ink.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
And she disperses a cloud of ink into the water. However, you tied her up, so like clearing it enough to see her, like she's still just there, because you were smart enough to actually like tie her up before doing this. Yeah, and you we're force it down her stupid. Throat.
We are, but we weren't this time.
She is weakened. Like that blight literally took the life force out of her, Rosalind. So I think the effects of this are rapid. It is instantly Coral just like snaking up her legs up to her waist, climbing with every single second. And she's panic a little bit and she just goes, "Oh, why would you do that? Now
the cure?
Fine. I'll need what's left in the vial to synthesize more, though."
How much do we trust her?
Very little.
Well, if she tries to drink it, stab her. Otherwise,
yeah, fair enough. We're good at stabbing things. It's like our primary skill set.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm also pretty good at blaming ghosts for things.
That's true. That is our secondary.
What a LinkedIn profile number skills. Stabbing ghosts.
And stabbing ghosts.
No, you don't
forget being stupid.
Yeah, that's the big number three. That's what recruiters are looking for these days.
Yeah, okay. Let's get Talon off the floor, and then we should still have enough for her to synthesize more.
Yeah, you have three drops left, so you're giving one to Talon?
Yeah, and then we'll hold her at metaphorical gunpoint, rooty tooty point and shooty point, while she synthesizes more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you drop it. Talon, like, just barely, her mouth is still exposed. You drop a drop in her mouth. It hardens, bakes, cracks off. Talon, I think you wake up as well. I think anyone who was affected by it kind of wakes up more once the antidote is in them.
Oh, that was a good nap. Oh, I think I feel really... Guys, I think I slept better than I have in weeks. That was really good.
Well, see, holy it's shit, just...
What the fuck is going on here?
Don't worry about it. It's just a delightful nap that you'll all have if you enjoy more
that
stone.
There is coral people. Why are people made out of... Why is coral flaking off of me? What the fuck is happening, guys?
He fed you scones that petrified you into coral.
Allegedly.
We had to blow her up about it, and now we're extorting her into making more antidote. Join us in doing that.
I love
that
she's saying
please.
Allegedly when we just forced, you guys just forced a scone down her throat so she would synthesize more cure. She's really banking hard on this whole allegedly thing.
She really does
allegedly.
Okay, fine. Give me the vial, free my hands, and I can synthesize some more right here in my kitchen. It doubles as a potions room. Ooh.
I actually have a better idea. Why don't you stay where you are, and one of us, you tell us what to do, and we'll do it. And if we need any of your spooky, wooky green magic, we'll summon you.
Okay, but that's like a lot of it.
Well, and then we'll do that.
Okay. Well, you need to go and pluck 6 sea pears from the garden, as well as grind the eyes of 3 hot rock slugs from the magma vents. I keep a jar of them next to the tomatoes.
I love this.
Is that like the underwater version of hot cross buns, hot rock slugs?
Oh, do you play the recorder? Yeah, that's what we teach the kids.
Oh, I play the recorder. I learned in third grade. I've still got my third grade recorder. I could break it out at any time.
Is that Blaze saying that?
Yes. Beautiful. I mean, you all know that me, Goblin, I have my third grade recorder.
Oh, we do, but this, yeah.
No, I'm making this canon now.
Yeah, Blaze plays the fucking recorder, but not very well because third grade. Not enough to have proficiency in it.
Oh God, no! But they've definitely done some practicing occasionally. Maybe they've learned 2 songs: "Hot Cross Buns" and one other.
Yeah. But yeah, and so Cece instructs you on grinding all these ingredients together. And she goes, okay, next step, I have to infuse the paste, and then we'll drop a drop in so that it its natural magical properties spread throughout the rest of the paste.
Homeopathy?
Yes,
homeopathy!
Yeah, it's homeopathy! It's fucking worse than we're just drinking water. I love it. Sorry, we hate homeopathy in this house. We will, can and will dunk on it.
But it's very funny.
But when the curse is homeopathic, like...
I guess. I mean, no. To be clear, this is Goblin, not Blaze.
So yeah, it's my time to shine. So free these digits and I'll get to mixing.
Can we untie her enough that she can do this, but still like have her on a lead by the rope?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, you can leash up this sea witch.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
So her hands are free?
Yeah.
She glows just like, she walks over to the kitchen counter where you've made this mixer and kind of looks at it, kind of frowns slightly, grinds it some more. The coral is up like to her shoulders now. It's almost like she's wearing like a bodysuit of coral. And so she's really kind of wobbling to get there. And she grinds it up some more to like really get a really nice fine paste and then signals for the vial with the little bit of liquid left in it.
Mm-hmm.
Who was holding it? Oh, you dropped it in Talon's mouth. Mordai, yeah. Do you give it to her?
Yes, but I also have Spindle like climb onto her head and threaten her with its stinger.
Oh, she fucking drinks it.
How did I know? I freaking know?
Her coral bakes, disappears. There's still one drop. I don't think she would have swigged the whole thing. I think she would have been smart to leave one drop.
Just the Spindle react.
Yes, Spindle jabs her straight through her eye.
God damn it.
Yeah, I mean,
unless
she's dead. Not, like,
yeah.
Yeah, she fully accepted those consequences. She was a spiteful woman and chose death over stopping the transformation for those remaining.
Okay.
No.
Well,
so now you have three people and one drop.
Who are the three people again?
Stingray Romano, Yaz Thrashwise, mm-hmm. and Trimp.
We gotta do it for Yaz. I mean,
we have to do it for Yaz.
We literally have to do it for Yaz.
I wish that I had fucking magic or something to try and circumvent this, but unfortunately, I picked fighter as my goddamn class.
Hey, Talon. I think that Talon has that thought. You feel that box, that gift box.
Mm-hmm.
As you're standing up from being prone on the floor, rattle slightly with those three pearls in it.
I reach in and I pull one out, and the water around it feels cleaner and purer, like you said.
Yep.
I put it in Yaz's mouth. I feel like I'm playing a text game. It's like I touch the pearl to her forehead. I put the pearl in her mouth. Go north. Go north. I've been eaten by a grew.
If you do not like the results, turn back to page 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you put it in her mouth, and she kind of crunches down on it slightly without really thinking, and it fizzes like a seltzer tablet, and bubbles escape her mouth, and it she kind of like her eyes go wide for a second. She almost chokes on it. She looks vital. She looks healthier than she's looked this entire time. She's been underwater for a long time. The coral bursts off her, and she stands up, like looking strong and refreshed. You have successfully healed her of this coral paralysis.
Fucking fantastic! Goes,
oh wow, those things are great. Oh my goodness, don't taste great. Tastes kind of chalky and hard, and I think I have some stuck between my teeth. But I'm not a fucking coral statue. So, Talon, thank you so much. I know you said those were a gift for you. I thank you for using it on me.
So we've got two more of those and one drop, so we can heal everyone and still have a pearl. Pearl left.
Into a Trimp's mouth.
Oh yeah, you're using them all now.
I imagine we're going to use the last drop for Ray Romano, but
yeah, the last drop of the vial for Ray Romano and save one pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think
I'm not leaving people behind, Piper.
Yeah. All right. I think you do that. I think you the same effect for Trimp. It fizzes, bursts off, and Trimp just goes,
I don't think I'm going to be making many scones in the future. That was awful. Thanks for the promo.
Stick to fried rice, buddy.
Yep. And tell him you're getting free fried rice for life. Limit one per customer.
Hell yeah.
Oh, you're very big. That might be a mistake, but I'm going to honor it.
You already said it, though.
I know. It's a verbal contract with witnesses, so I'm boned.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rattle upcharge for the drinks.
With a miracle, you heal Stingray Romano, too, who just goes, hey, what did I miss?
Oh, I fucked your wife.
Deborah?
Yeah, I had sex with Deborah.
No, not Deborah. Wait, we're in the tunnels. You couldn't have fucked Deborah. Who did you fuck?
Well, it was a Deborah. I don't know.
Did you fuck the octopus lady? Why is she tied up like that?
No, I did not fuck the octopus lady.
Oh, she's dead. We should go.
I suppose. Bye, coral statues we couldn't save.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we've got another pearl, but we might need that.
Yeah, Talon, I imagine you probably safely tuck that back away. And you all make your way out of this now devoid of life little yellow house under the sea. You make your way through the back garden, passing these coral statues that, upon closer inspection, all have faces that are like either very peacefully sleeping faces or these horrified, shocked, and betrayed faces. Some are reaching out almost towards you as you pass them. But they're all perfectly still. And you see another tunnel leading off into the distance. I imagine you travel for some hours. That was a nice rest that you just had. You're well rested. And so you're swimming for hours and hours and hours through these dark tunnels until eventually you think you hear a noise. It's a vibration and it grows louder and louder. And the tunnel begins to quake around you and rocks are falling. And you realize it's another one of those earthquakes striking. And speeding up through it, you emerge out into an area where there's also, mixed with the sound of falling rocks, drums beating in a rhythmic pattern. And you seem to be in, with no spectators in the stands, some sort of underwater, like, Colosseum arena. And in the middle, facing the other direction, you see an impossibly large armored crab with one eye stalk that, as you emerge into this cavern, swivels around to face you.